coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard they try, and they are trying. I want to welcome each and every one of you to this edition of the Hagman Report. Thank you so very much for being part of it. I just can't thank you enough for your support. I'll tell you what, we're doing a lot behind the scenes as we get closer to election. We're going to start right out. Randy Taylor, analyst with the Hagman Report, undercover, one of the greatest undercover, in my view, one of the greatest undercover guys I've ever worked with, is with me. He's riding shotgun. We're going to be dissecting what is this Hunter Biden that they speak of? What is this issue?
He must have had a business meeting today.
Who did?
Randy.
Why?
He looks nice today. He's got his collar shirt on.
Let's bring him on. Good. Let's bring him on. How you doing, Randy? We'll bring him on.
Must be day day.
You always look good. You could wear a sack and you'd look good. I'm glad to have you with me. So people are here. You know, my wife the other day said, "You know what's going? I can't get anyone to answer me about this Biden Hunter Biden scandal. You know what's going on with this?" Before and also, why hasn't anyone gone to jail over things? Now, before we get into this, I got a video. I think it's a minute and a quarter. Do you see it there, Eric the Tech? About a minute and a quarter. It's Donald Trump at the airport yesterday. Okay, let's play this and listen carefully to what he says. We're kind of doing this backwards, but go ahead and listen to what he says when you're ready. Go ahead and play it.
I think today he's staying in the basement to talk to his lawyers. They caught him cold. They caught him cold. I'll tell you something, and I mean this, though. He is lucky that we have in our country, and they don't appreciate, a wonderful human being and the most fair Attorney General of the United States. Because I know people that would have had him locked up 5 weeks ago. Bill Barr is a very nice man and a very fair man, and they have no idea, because somebody else would have taken that thing and all the crap and corruption. He's been a corrupt politician for a long time, this guy. And in many ways, it doesn't make some of us happy, but in many ways, Bill Barr is a wonderful human being and a very fair person. And he's not a person that wants to hurt people. Just remember that. I say it, and I say it once. Just remember it, because I get angry too. But just remember it. He's a very fair man. And in many ways, and especially in that position, there's something very nice about it. Okay? So, what can I say?
Okay, real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Randy. Two things about this. Did you see the number of people there? All right. I don't see any way possible, aside from something happening to President Trump or an outright theft of the electoral college and the votes, that he won't be president for a second term. I just don't see it, because the Biden rallies 8, 10, 12 people. I mean, seriously, there's no there. Okay. But the main reason I want to play that, Randy, you heard him characterize Bill Barr as extremely compassionate. And that's my word, almost as an excuse why no one has been, and especially why Joe Biden and, Hunter Biden haven't been, prosecuted. So what do you think of that?
I think that, and I only gather this from something I heard recently, but Apparently, there's some kind of rule down there at the DOJ and maybe at the FBI that within a certain amount of time of an election, they don't do arrests and things like that.
That's a custom. That's a custom. But they've had this.
It's like an unwritten courtesy.
Right, but they've had his laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, for a year almost.
It just shows you, Doug, that the whole thing is rigged. It's stacked. The swamp is deeper and wider than anybody thinks it is. I when I look at everything, I have to look at the whole thing. I have to look at the media, what they get away with, what the politicians are getting away with, what Nancy Pelosi and Congress gets away with. Just the verbiage that you read on social media, say, from politicians towards Donald Trump, towards President Trump. We'll call him President Trump because the office is due respect.
Absolutely.
And these journalists, that Savannah, whatever her name, Guthrie, I don't know what her name was, that right?
Savannah Guthrie, yeah.
See, she isn't even worthy of me remembering her name. As disrespectful as she was to the president. The crap he puts up with, I've never seen anything like it. It's almost as if somebody did take a shot at the guy, that the person would be some sort of folk hero to the left. You know, I mean, things are way out of kilter. We need him to get back into office. We need the Congress. We need the Senate. And look, if the government doesn't take care of this stuff, then it's going to fall on the people to take care of this stuff. But I tell you, I'm done. I'm just done.
I don't know. You speak for everyone.
I'm done. I'm sick and tired of this, for lack of better terminology, this bullshit that's happening. Things are out of hand. Things are, I told you last time I was on the show, I wouldn't have dreamt 20 years ago that I'd be witnessing what I'm witnessing today. And then you get these, the one that really tripped my trigger this morning was an article about more than 50 former Intel officials claim that the Biden emails are Russian disinformation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just look at that.
Good, because I've got a lot about that too. Go ahead.
Headed by Clapper.
Yep.
Okay. John Brennan. And then Adam Schiff had to get in there. These are all people that are established liars. These are people that were engaged in a coup against a duly elected president. And they stretched they broke the law. Adam Schiff stretched the law because every time he'd get up in Congress and then during the impeachment, there were no witnesses. It was all crap. Okay? And you're talking about, the world has got to be looking at us and laughing.
No, I agree.
Absolutely. We look like jackasses across the board because we're allowing this stuff. And
yep.
People email me. I've actually got some emails now. And thank you to the people have been sending emails in. Please, the emails are welcome. I like to know what the listeners are thinking. They want to know what to do.
Yes.
I don't have an answer for you yet.
Mm.
Okay. The answer will come. Anytime, you know, we're on a broadcast like this, you have to be real careful about what you say. I think that, they're going to do everything they can. Even if Trump wins, I expect them to name Biden as the winner. I think that this is just, it's going to be such an explosive time. Please enjoy your Halloween, because after Halloween, all bets are off. Okay? November 3rd, November 4th. I don't know.
Right. And to the Christians out there,
I'm at a loss for words, man.
Randy, let me just say this, because the only thing some Christians are going to hear is enjoy your Halloween. Oh my gosh. You know, that's, he believes in the occult and satanic. Okay, folks, no. Enjoy the weekend, okay? Don't go off on, just enjoy the weekend. You know what we're talking about. Don't divert from what we're talking
about.
The kids
need to have some fun, okay? Our children have had a really bad year, okay? It's one thing, the strain, the stress and strain that all of this has put on the adults.
Right.
The little ones around us are watching.
Yep.
And wondering.
Hell, dogs are on Prozac for crying out loud. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah,
but you see what I'm saying? I mean, these are the little ones. So when I say, you know, enjoy Halloween, no, I'm not, I don't mean it in an occult type fashion. To me, Halloween was always fun.
Yeah.
You know, you get to put on a costume and go out. No, it has nothing. Maybe the origins had to do with the devil and Satan and all that. I think we're pretty well away from that. It's pretty well commercialized now, much as they've done with Christmas. I tell you, go out and have fun at Halloween. And if you don't like what I said, don't have a good Halloween.
No, they have a good weekend.
Sit in your house with your lights off. I don't care. Okay?
That's what I do, by the way.
My kids are going to go trick-or-treating. All right.
Okay. I just wanted to say that. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to say that because you all get emails.
I know we get a lot of nitpicking sometimes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so
that's fine. If that's what you get out of my entire hour with Doug, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let's get back on track.
Okay. So what you said, because you said like 50 intelligence officials came out and signed a letter saying this is all BS, right?
Former intelligence official.
Right. Now, DNI John Radcliffe appeared on the weekend show with Maria Bartiromo, and he said, look, the Hunter Biden laptop, the pictures, emails, they're not part of a Russian disinformation campaign. And he said something, it's 15 minutes long. I'm not going to play it, obviously. But he said something, look, I know what's the intelligence, and the intelligence comes from my department.
Right.
And I'm telling you that that's not disinformation. So
they've oversold the Russian collusion thing
and
the Russian disinformation. They've absolutely oversold it. And I think we've established this. I think just by behavior, this fact that I'll give you has been established that the biggest threat to our democracy, to our republic and our democratic process is not from outside.
Right.
Our biggest threat going into this election cycle is from the inside. That's where the problem is. And we talked about last week, Brennan had done a tweet where he talked about, you know, if Biden was president and if such and so and so and Russia became president, you know, what a great world it would be. All right, well, let's just take that, spin it around, and let's say Putin sent out a tweet and said, you know, if Donald Trump becomes president and we can work this out and blah, 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 I would be happy. He's entitled to his opinion, okay? That doesn't make it that there's collusion. And I think it's amusing, all the talk about collusion and throwing elections and things like that, when I look at our own government and what we've done over the years. I mean, and we don't have to go back that far. Just go back to the Shah of Iran.
Good point.
We put him in power. Okay.
Yeah. We took him out of power.
We allowed him to be taken out of power.
You said, stated differently. Yes. Yes.
Right. And look at various places in South America. We're not going to get into names, but when you start playing around with other governments, and look at the chaos that South America's in now, and we've had our fingers down there for years. I can tell you that from having been in the military back in the 80s. We have had our fingers in South America long before that, okay? And really, all we've left was a disaster down there. And now the speculation is that a lot of the problems we're having, and it's been that way for a couple of years, is that the intelligence agencies are behind it. Our own intelligence agencies. My question is why? You know, where, and documents, HASPA, not wanting to give out documents, you know, and declassify things that Trump wants declassified.
You're talking about the head of the CIA now, right, Gina Haspel?
Yeah, which I never understood why he, you know, put her there, because honestly, she's been pretty much a stumbling block ever since she's been there, right, as far as anything he's asked for. One thing that I would suggest to President Trump, he needs someone on staff that's a little better at filtering through the people that are working for him and watching the people that are working for him, because he has people in place that are sticking it to him. You know, these leaks and different things like that. These are people that should have been vetted better. There's a lot of people in charge of agencies that need to be blown out of there. I would sacrifice a little bit of experience for more loyalty, honestly. And they say, well, that's a bad thing. You're not supposed to be loyal to Trump. You're supposed to be loyal to the USA. Well, when you're working for an administration, you're supposed to really be on the same side as the boss.
And one doesn't preclude the other.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't like what I'm seeing, because it's not what our forefathers intended. We are so far off track. And I'm really concerned just these last couple weeks here before the election. I'm really concerned for President Trump's safety. I pray every day for him. Earnest prayer.
I do as well. And I think...
And I ask all our listeners to do the same thing. And the other thing that concerns me is I think that we may be taking too much for granted, and people are starting to rest on their laurels and looking at the big rallies and going, oh, he's got this in the bag. Don't assume that. When you look at a rally and there's 30,000 people there, that's a very small piece of the voting block.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, just look through your social media, Doug. People are getting this.
Oh, I see it.
It's an unsafe comfort. They're in a comfort zone that they need to not be in. You're not in a comfort zone, and don't even think you're in a comfort zone until November 4th and he's been proclaimed a winner. And then we still have to be concerned with what's going to show up, because I just saw what happened there in Pennsylvania with the Supreme Court.
Yes, with the ballots.
Right, bingo. And they're allowing them, what, 3 days?
Right. Now they're... for those who don't know, now another 3 days.
Explain that to everyone, sir.
So, okay, the bottom line is, instead of Election Day being on November 3rd this year, 3 additional days have been granted in order for the ballots to come in, the late ballots to come in. They've granted, I think, 72, an extra 3 days to... how would I say it, to allow the mail-in ballots to come in? Simple as that. I mean, Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled that. I mean, how else do you describe that?
That's pretty much the way it is now. But now, saying that, the 3 days, what about all the different states that haven't filed anything, or groups in states that haven't filed, and we're looking at, what if it's 7 and 10 days in other states?
And they're working on that.
You know, in California, it'll probably be 2023, you know. But, you know, I mean, there has to be a line somewhere, and that, since this is where I have a problem versus with the republic is a beautiful thing, but then there's also issues with being in a republic, is it's a federal election with state governance. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So my opinion is federal election, it should be federally governed. Period.
And it's federal government. Uniform, yeah, for uniformity.
Federal government, right, if the federal government says it'll be 72 hours, then by golly, it's 72 hours across the board.
Right.
And in that particular case, especially something that's critical, there needs to be some sort of uniformity. Of course, I think personally that this whole election with the mail-in ballots and all has been a circus. I think it's a very poorly introduced system.
Of course.
We talked about this before. I think there should have been some sort of trial run on this. A trial election ballot process done midway between two federal elections. You know, something to work out the kinks, because we're seeing, and they downplay it as being minor. Even that Savannah chick that was being so disrespectful to the president, she was downplaying voter fraud and ballots being found, because President Trump brought up the case where I think it was, 20,000 ballots or something. It's not important, the number, because bear in mind, it's just like drug running, okay? We only hear about the 10% that get popped.
That's true.
So if we hear accumulated, add them all up, 20,000 here, 50,000 here, 200,000 there, you start adding them up, and you come up with, say, 1 million ballots. Well, that's only probably 10% of the ballots that we didn't find in the dumpsters that were pitched or were properly disposed of according to DNC standards.
Okay. According to DNC
standards. Well, you have to have a guideline somewhere. So let's say then now we're looking at 8 or 10 million ballots.
Right.
Okay. Now you got a problem.
Right.
But the left is downplaying this, and the media isn't even touching it.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So 1 million accumulated ballots, really and truly, it may be 8 or 10 million that we don't know were destroyed. Okay?
Right.
10 million votes in the United States of America in any election is a decider.
Okay.
Think about it. 10 million votes.
Right, right.
How many votes did Hillary lose by, even in the popular vote?
Hillary won the popular vote.
Okay, but I'm sorry, I misphrased that. How much did she win by? Million and a half votes.
Depends on who you ask. Somewhere around the 3 million mark, right?
Okay, 3 million is well within the 10 million I just described.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Right. And this year, the voting is supposedly in record numbers, which is fantastic.
And we can see that.
I want people to get out and vote. Okay. But I want the process to be correct. I want, and you know, when they talk about voter suppression and this and that, these are figments of imagination. No one in this country is suppressed and withheld from voting.
Not at all.
If you say they are, you are a liar. I will tell you to your face, you are a liar. Okay? The only thing that suppressed somebody from voting is if they didn't get their butt down to the voting booth in time.
Well, the voter suppression, though, I mean, what are they saying voting suppression is? Asking for ID, closing down voting locations.
Yeah, oh, heaven forbid we ask for ID. I need ID to buy alcohol.
Right.
I would need ID to buy cigarettes. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. If you want to buy a lottery ticket, you got to have ID.
Yeah, nothing really.
But something as major as putting the president of the United States in the office of the most powerful country in the world, and suddenly ID is a problem. I don't get it.
Right.
You don't get your welfare check without an ID.
That's right. So, yeah. So, yes, and this probably will end up being, and unless this is such a big slam dunk for President Trump, this will end up being litigated. I can just see it.
Oh, it was litigated back with Bush and Gore.
Right.
You know, and we know how that went. Was Daddy Bush called up Gore and said, look, if you'll concede to my son, because we got this whole thing planned out in the Middle East where we're going to topple leaders everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll concede to my son. Tell you what, we got this thing. It's called global warming, and it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to you. So tell you what, concede to my son, and you're going to get a big, fat paycheck over the next 30 years. tell me I'm wrong.
You're 100% right.
Prove me wrong. Oh, you like my Michael Myers cup? See?
I can't see it too well. Michael Myers.
Yeah, from Halloween, that movie Halloween.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. My wife got that for me.
You're bad. You're in a cold list. Okay.
But you have to look at it, and I look at that because right after that, immediately this global warming, climate change thing took off with Al Gore at the head. So, you know, and of course it was down in Broward County, Florida, where Deborah Washington Schultz is the supervisor of elections or whatever. The whole thing is, it's crap.
Okay, all right. What does then, right now, here we are, the Supreme Court, we're about to, the Senate should do their advising consent and place Amy Coney Barrett in the Supreme Court. And that should happen within the next 10 days.
Okay.
Is it going to happen? Because if it doesn't happen, we're going to be in my view, in a world of hurt. And I don't know why it couldn't happen unless we have four, Republicans bow out and say, we're not going to do this. So,
so that's Mitt Romney and who else?
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. You need four Mitt Romney and, well, no, I think, yeah, Mitt Romney and three others. So,
yeah.
But I guess my question is, this almost seems like we are being played. And, you know, I have a rule. If you feel like you're being played,
you're being played.
You're being played. Okay. So, any thoughts on the Supreme Court nomination? Do you think that they're going to?
I know Schumer's trying to play something, but it's an exercise in futility. This young lady's going to be put in place. I'm glad she's going to be there because this fruitcake Roberts, I don't know what to make of him, but you know, if it was the other way around and it was liberals and they wanted to put a liberal in there and it was a liberal Senate, liberal controlled Senate, she'd be in. That's that.
I agree.
Even Feinstein likes this lady, which really floored me. I saw the thing where she went over and hugged Lindsey Graham and all. I was really surprised that Dianne Feinstein actually likes this. You know, she'll probably vote for party. See, that's the problem. People vote party lines anymore, and that's that. This whole thing in the Senate was a dog and pony show. They should have just said, okay, you know, as soon as they let one or two Democrats speak out, I said, okay, time for a vote.
Right.
why are you wasting my time, you know? So she can be humiliated and spoken down to by Kamala Harris. Excuse me. I have trouble with that name. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. The lady that brought the flies to the debate, that one.
you know, that really, I was really angry about the fact that she wasn't human enough to say, you know what, you got a fly there.
Yeah, really, dude. Okay,
come on, man. Yeah. You know, I mean...
He was cool. He was cool as a cucumber.
He was.
It could have been a hornet sitting there, man. Pence is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just a stoic guy, you know.
Yeah, and I like him. You know, some people don't, but I do, and I think he's got a lot of class. Now, I think he's also has a lot of, you know, old school ties, kind of the old.
And he won't budge on them.
No.
You know, like if. The worst thing for the Democrats that would have happened is if they had impeached Donald Trump and removed him from office, because Pence would have become president, and these Democrats would have just had targets on their head.
And that, okay, so I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's the other thing, too. And by the way, folks, tonight here momentarily, Donald Trump will be at the Erie International Airport, Tom Ridge Field. In a standing room only crowd, speaking to the people of Erie. And, you know, you're talking about a huge crowd. So, and Erie is a known, Democratic town, but that aside, Donald Trump will be here momentarily. So,
we should have got him on the show, man.
You know, and I got to tell you this, we have pending press credentials. We actually have and I didn't tell you this off air. We have we were in the press room at the White House 2 years ago. And we have a seat, a rotating seat there at the press room, where we had one until, of course, last year some things happened and we had some issues. Of course, things went sideways, so I didn't renew that. But we had the ability to go in the press room. But you'd be surprised how small that press room is, folks. It's a very, very small room. And the White House grounds, I mean, I stood in the Rose Garden on the South Lawn as President Trump boarded Marine One. And, you know, I tell you what, it was just a magnificent sight. But that aside, I don't even know what got me going.
You have to loan me that pass for a weekend.
And you got to, of course, you got to go through a lot of hoops. The Secret Service stuff.
I just want to stand there next to Jim Acosta for a few minutes.
They wouldn't let you within 10 feet of Acosta. You were Eric. Eric, too, wants a piece of him. I'll tell you. Him and what's the other one, that bald-headed cue ball guy?
The Monopoly Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Eric the Tech, we were talking about Biden. You know, I think it's important for people to understand how crooked Biden has been. Biden was Obama's point man for the 8 years. And if you don't mind, can you, Eric the Tech, can you, that one, right underneath that, there's a link there. That one, how it began. And then underneath that, there's a link. Randy, take a look at this. It's just, we'll play it for a few minutes, then we'll bring it back. But it kind of sums it up. Do you mind?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes, that link right underneath. Yes. Sorry about that. I got people talking in my ear, folks. Yes. Stop the hammering. Okay, here it goes.
Joining us tonight is President Trump's personal attorney, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, also host of the podcast Common Sense and Chat with the Mayor show on WABC Radio in New York. Rudy, great to see you. And this is
good to see you.
Extraordinary expose, and it is so powerful, important that the American public know what's happening. Your role in it has been central, and that of your attorney. Can you quickly tell us how you came to be at the
sure,
center of this?
Sure, sure.
And that these got to the New York Post.
You know what? I'll tell you what convinces me that this is very damaging. All they do is attack the process and attack me and attack the people who found it. They can't attack any of the substance of the emails, the texts, or the photographs, which are clearly Hunter Biden's. No question about it. And I'll explain that in a minute. So here's how we found out about it.
I just want to just interject this. The photographs from people who had talked to me, Randy, are horrendous in terms of
depravity.
Yes, thank you. That's the word. Go ahead and continue.
Repaired, I'm going to say about a year and a half ago. He left it with a merchant. The merchant repaired it and then tried to reach Hunter Biden to give it back to him. He could never reach him. 90 days passed. At 90 days, according to the agreement signed by Hunter Biden, which I have a copy of, the hard drive was abandoned, became the property of the merchant. A few months later, the merchant started hearing these things on television that the Bidens were saying and was being said about them, and he became very nervous, and he decided he better take a look at what he had because it might be criminal in nature. So he opened it up, looked at it, and his words were shocked. He said he was shocked when he looked at it because he said the pictures were disgusting, they were dirty, they were pornographic, and they had evidence, clear evidence of any number of crimes right on the pictures. And then he said he went to the text and the emails, and even though he didn't know much about the situation, it was clear they were hiding money, laundering money, involved with the foreign countries we said they were involved in. He was particularly angry because I was being attacked about Ukraine, and it showed the whole Ukrainian transaction. So he called in the FBI. He gave it to the FBI. He told the FBI agent that he was afraid that something might happen to him. And the FBI agent told him,
what time period was this?
Very odd statement. So this would be about the time of the impeachment. And he told the FBI agent, I'm very worried. I could be in a lot of trouble here. They could hurt me.
Randy, see if
the Bidens are
familiar.
Very powerful around here.
Yeah.
And the FBI agent said, well, if you keep your mouth shut, nothing will happen to you.
Yeah, see if you keep your mouth shut.
And that became the attitude of the FBI. For 6 months, they did nothing about it. Nothing. As far as I know, they didn't interview anybody. They didn't investigate. They never called them back. He then sent letters to four or five different individuals, to me, Senator Johnson, several others, I think, Jim Jordan. And my lawyer got a copy of the letter to me originally. And when he saw it, he said, look, I'll go talk to him. I'll vet him. The guy could be a nut or he could be for real. We've had both.
Right.
So Bob, who is an experienced trial lawyer, former assistant U.S. attorney, lawyer for George Steinbrenner, he went to visit him. He spent several days with him. He vetted the whole thing. He authenticated the hard drive about five different ways,
all right,
and made an agreement with the guy.
Really?
He gave us a copy of it. Yep.
You said that you had been
attacked.
And
we've been cataloging it since
you
then.
You had been threatened. Right. This is a very big deal paraphrase Joe Biden.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is we watched Twitter and Facebook shut down this country's social media platforms, principal plot. Just to keep that story out of yesterday's news cycle, they relented today.
Wow.
By the way, they also blocked me for a short term and the new one of the installments of the New York Post reports. But right now, this material is so damning for the Bidens. The national media isn't even, the left-wing media isn't even asking questions of it, and they've had two perfect opportunities to do so.
Randy,
your
thoughts you tell
about
me
what
when
has
to
be done
this, this goes
now
on for a while,
that this
okay
material
yeah,
is out.
You can cut it when you want.
Okay, we can cut it now then.
We get the gist of it, and what's sickening is if this was the other way around, and that was, Donald Trump Jr.'s laptop, we would have seen all the pictures. This would have been wall to wall. They would have been screaming for him to resign. This just shows how deep this swamp is. And Joe Biden is a real piece of crap. He raised a piece of crap. Okay? And they want him to be president.
Well,
better be out of your ever-loving mind.
One thing that I felt, it really kind of hurt my heart, Eric, I sent you an image. This was a text, and I've gone through texts, you know. This is a text by Hunter Biden about his position. I don't know how many people can see this, but it says, I love all of you, but I don't receive any respect, and that's fine, I guess. Works for you, apparently. I hope you can all do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years, four is misspelled. It's really hard, but don't worry. Unlike Pop, meaning Joe Biden, I won't make you give me half your salary. That's
Eric, I just sent you a picture of Joe Biden too, to show the people that nothing's changed over the years. If you want to pop that one up on the screen.
Oh, he's going to have to get it.
It's in the studio email.
All right. I'm not sure if he's in the studio email. He's Randy sent. Yeah, you know, this is a big deal.
It's huge. This is the corruption is unbelievable. This is a fraction of this is what they went after the president with impeachment process. A fraction.
I know.
Of this. And if removal from office is what they wanted, using their own bar, Joe Biden shouldn't even be in the selection process. That's using their own bar.
That's right.
That's not a bar set by the GOP. That's using the Democrats' own bar. That somehow it's okay. This is crap. This shows you that the Democrat Party needs to be revamped or abolished.
Okay.
And they've got to fix it. We can't.
Which circles me right back around to the very first clip I played, and I want to ask you this question. Donald Trump coming out and saying, Bill Barr, I'm only going to tell you this once, he's a, you know, hell of a nice guy. He's really compassionate. I mean, he could throw these people in jail, on and on and on, praising Bill Barr and his restraint, undoubtedly in reference to this and other things. Are we looking at maybe the dissolution of the republic if he went forward with prosecutions? The potential?
No, I just think that this close to the election is the only reason that Bill Barr. What exactly would Bill Barr do if this was a year ago? This was dropped in his lap. It's not election time. Let's say it's 2 years ago.
Right.
All right. Well, we know they've had the laptop for a year. My first question would be, how long has Bill Barr known about it? I would also want to know. I'm sure John Durham knows something about it.
Yeah.
The thing that's been concerning me is nothing's happening. And we're talking, all right, we're in the election cycle now, so it's a little late. Okay, I mean, if he walked in and put, you know, handcuffs on Joe Biden and took him off to jail, well, that would be something phenomenal that would go down
bad optics.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know, even though it's the rest of the world, they'd be stunned. You know, I can just see them in the middle of dinner going, you know, what happened? But what exactly, all right, can't really do anything to Joe Biden because it's Hunter Biden that's doing this. So I agree, even though it's an election, Hunter Biden should be indicted.
But well, wait a second. Hunter's just the bag man.
I understand, but we're talking about the laptop now.
Okay, all right.
Let's talk about purely the laptop, ownership of the laptop, who's in the pictures snorting cocaine off hookers' butts, okay? I'm pretty sure it wasn't Joe Biden. Anyway, Hunter Biden they said it was a black prostitute. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't know Stacey Abrams knew the guy.
There's several pictures out there floating around. I'm not sure. I can only authenticate one, which appears to be consistent with what the...
Is that the one in the bathtub?
There was one in the bathtub. Actually, I can authenticate two. One in the bathtub and one in bed. Have been authenticated. The others, and I've seen a lot. I don't know if they're real or not. You know, Photoshop. I don't know.
Right. It's hard to say. I really wish that, you know, Hannity or somebody that, you know, has looked at these pictures would actually put them up.
Yes.
Because if it came out on, is it Hannity? Oh, who's the other fella?
Tucker Carlson.
Yes, Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is a very believable man, okay?
I think
and so. One, he wouldn't put, he said over and over, I wouldn't say it on here if it wasn't true, okay? Right. Put the pictures out, because if he puts them out, all right, there's two ways to look at this. If they put the pictures out, are these things that could be thrown out of court later? They're getting into a very gray, it's a gray area.
Right.
Okay. Now, given that, if you said to me, I was the attorney general, you say, you know, you're my legal advisor, say, look, man, if this stuff gets posted, you know, we have no case, or they'll get this stuff thrown out, which they probably could, considering the screwball judges that are sitting on these benches now.
And I've seen that happen here locally with other
Yes. Well, how about the one handled in the Flynn case?
Yes.
You know, General Flynn. I mean, what a travesty of justice.
Yep.
So I would have to look at it, because I'm trying to figure out why Barr hasn't moved on Hunter, okay? Because that's not going after Joe Biden, although he's collateral damage in a case like that. The bottom line is, if tomorrow morning Hunter Biden raped a child, would you wait till after the election to arrest him? Or if he walked in and robbed a bank tomorrow, would you wait till after the election to arrest him? Or would you do it now?
Well, I don't think it has any something like that would not have any election ties. What Hunter Biden is being accused of is selling access.
We know that, yeah.
But, a bank robbery.
That goes, see, now you're going, really, at that level and selling access? You're talking about treason.
Well, yeah, you're damn right I am. Effing right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that maybe in a few cases difficult to sell to a jury, but a good lawyer, a good attorney, I could sell it to a jury. You could sell it to a jury.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So, I think there's an aspect of treason there, you know.
Considering
everything that's going on with China right now.
Exactly.
They have become a sworn enemy.
Yes. Yes.
Because they've been exposed for what they are. Under the Democrats, under Obama, and especially under Clinton. Clinton is the one that got this whole China thing started.
Amen to that.
Absolutely.
Well, I Nixon and Kissinger, but yes, we'll go with Clinton.
With Kissinger, that's what kills me. I was looking him up the other day. The dude is still around. Is he like fucking? He's like, excuse me. He's like 205 years old.
I'm telling you, I saw him. Well, he was old back in '81 when I saw him at the Waldorf.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this guy hasn't. I looked at his picture and I'm like, this guy doesn't age, man.
I know.
He's still there, and he's still in the middle of politics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? How is this possible?
He wears his pants up to here. But
doesn't this guy go away? Retire, man. Leave.
I don't know. But, man, there is something really wrong with all of this. All of this.
It's very concerning, and I'm very concerned going into this election. I sit here and I think about it at night, all the different things that could happen.
Yep.
If Trump wins, there's going to be chaos in the streets.
Yep.
If Biden wins, there may not be chaos in the streets immediately, but I don't think that all the veterans and conservatives and Christians are going to sit back and let this country be turned into China.
I hope not.
If we do, we've squandered the greatest gift outside of God giving us his son, Jesus. We've squandered the greatest things we've ever been given.
What you and I and the people that work for the core group here at the Hagmann Report have been looking at, Sam Andrews, who was a guest on the program. I spoke to you about him. We spoke on air about him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said what we've been finding, and that's this. If Biden wins, okay, and Harris win, you know, Biden-Harris ticket wins legitimately, if that's even possible. About February 15th or so, you know, they're coming for our guns. Yes. And there will be blood on the streets.
Yes, okay. It will. And the thing is, the question is, will the military and the police back them? In some cases, yes, but I don't think the military... Our military is not going to come after the citizens.
I don't either. So don't, they're going to have to.
If you bring UN troops in, that's cool. I love those blue helmets. Okay. They're really easy to pick out in the distance.
And we're serious, folks. I mean, this is serious. Well, the other option is if President Trump wins, they're going to burn the whole, their words, we're going to burn the whole damn place down.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, look at what they've done in Seattle and Portland and all these places, and we're not even near election time.
Right.
This was over a couple of people that resisted arrest and ended up getting, you know, killed by the police. You know, and look what happened there. And this thing will blow up. And if we let it, it's going to be on us. You know, there comes a point, and we were talking about this off air, but look at our founding fathers. Look at the price they paid. They lost, you know, they have everything at risk. Everything. Their lives, their families' lives, their plantations, their properties, their businesses. You know, you look at them and the sacrifice they made. And by us sitting around doing nothing, if it comes down to that, we're disrespecting them. We're disrespecting their memory. We're disrespecting their honor. And we're disrespecting a beautiful thing that God gave us. And I'm not talking about going out in the streets en masse. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. And you might want to read between the lines, folks.
And that's it. And then I'll say that because, let's wait and see. Okay, but you know what? No matter what happens, we're going to be here. Doug and I will be here.
That's
and
for
we're
sure.
We're going to talk to you. We're going to tell you what we know. We're going to give you our insights. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate this, and I really appreciate the emails. I've gotten a few connections on Twitter. Once again, I'm Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Drop me an email. Anybody that's emailed me knows I do respond to your emails. I absolutely do. If you're on Twitter, I'm Randy_USA. Please hit me with a follow. If you follow me, I follow you back. Doesn't matter who you are. If you follow me, I follow you back. Okay. Unless you've got, you know, a picture of St. Petersburg, you know, in your background there that I probably won't. But you never know, right?
We got about 4 minutes left.
But hey, folks, listen, thank you very much. I enjoy this. Doing this with you. We're in this together. So, you know, wherever this road leads, okay, we're not going by ourselves. You're not alone. Trust me.
People feel alone, don't they? I mean,
they feel very, yep, very isolated and alone, and please don't. There's safety in numbers, okay? We want to hear from you. We want to know who you are. You know, if you're frustrated, you're lonely, you just shoot an email in, man. You know, say something. We're all in this together. And please pray. Never give up. This is a beautiful thing God gave us, and we're going to preserve it one way or another. We're not alone. There's more out here than you think. Okay? It's just we're going to try and do this the legal way. We're going to vote and make our voices heard. Okay? If that fails, then we'll talk about that another time.
It's very well stated.
And that's all I'm going to say is, you know, the Lord is with us. We are on the right track, and you've got to believe that. And then, listen, I want to say thank you for your contributions to the show. Folks,
thank you.
Can't do this without you, all right? So, you know, if you can pop by the donate page, I know times are tough for a lot of people, and that's cool. I can dig it. I've been unemployed since February myself, okay? $1 to $5, you know. Whatever you can do for us is so much appreciated. You have no idea how it touches in the heart, you know. We love you guys, okay, or we wouldn't do this. I would not do this if I didn't love each and every one of you.
With that, Randy, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, you know, for our friendship. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who look at you. They don't know you, but they know you as a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's,
and we're going to get through this.
We
listen,
are.
I'm breathing. Okay. I'm still breathing. I'm still standing. All right. Yep. So we're going to get through this. And Doug there, that's my best friend. We're still standing. All right. This ain't over. This ain't over by a long shot, folks.
God bless you, my friend. I really appreciate what you do. I appreciate you. And in closing, you know, you said something to me, off air. I don't know when it was, a day or two ago, and about the founding fathers. And you asked me a question, you know, something about, would you put your life on the line for
what you believe in?
For what you believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And folks, think about that. I mean, really think about that and pray about that.
Yeah. Especially, we've got a ton of veterans out there. Yeah. You know, nobody let you out of that oath. That oath still stands.
All right. Amen. Randy, I want to thank you. You are one of the finest and kindest men I know. You know, I just want to say thank you so much.
I appreciate you too, brother. Feels and like you too, Eric.
Hey, you can answer him or what? Huh?
All right. Thank you.
All right, brother. You take care of yourself.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for your gift of time today. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. I look forward to being back again.
You're coming back. Cool. In fact,
that's cool. We're getting a lot of positive emails. I definitely, if you want to hear the Mr. Taylor speak, by all means, drop an email and make comments on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Doug reads those. I read those. Amen. And I really appreciate it. Oh, and the crazy stuff you hear about that they're talking about up there in Canada, about internment camps and all, it's not happening, okay? I have great sources, and I have family in Canada. Okay, nobody's been put in an internment camp, all right?
We're not
there yet. Let's clean up the U.S. first, and then we'll worry about our northern neighbors.
Thanks for that clarification. Yeah, I know you got sources.
I saw one on there, got me so tickled. I was like, where do you people get this stuff?
Man, I'll tell you what. Life is unbelievable enough at the moment rather than, you know, toss in things like that. So thank you for that clarification, because I do know your sources up there. So.
Exactly. All right, my friend. Right. We will talk again soon.
All right. Have a good night.
God bless you.
All right, folks, that was Randy Taylor. Definitely send him an email. You know, Randy does a great job behind the scenes, and we're tight. And I got to tell you something. The guy's a man's man, and he's a man, and he's a man's man. I have a feeling as in the days, and I really have to be careful with how I say this, but in the days ahead, when we have to take care of business, and this maybe, you know, business will be taken care of. Our business will be taken care of as we need to take care of our business. I guess that's the best way to say it. And you can trust us, like you can trust your own spouse. Okay. Consider this like a family business, if you will. That's how close we are. All right, folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Up next, Stan Dale. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. That's where to go, where you need to. That's everything. HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com. Remember, two N's in Hagman Report. I'm going to tell you this. Milford, New Hampshire, Milford police are trying to track down whoever's been sending threatening letters to people who have Trump signs in their yard, Trump supporters, known Trump supporters, President Trump supporters. They're saying, we're going to burn down your house. We're going to burn down your house. That's right. A couple of Milford residents who asked not to be identified, one in particular asked me not to be identified, said she received one of the letters that said this: Dear neighbor, you've been identified by our group as being a Trump supporter. Your address has been added to our database as a target when we attack should President Trump not concede the election. The anonymous author went on to say that Kelly should hope her home insurance has fire coverage. You think this is a game? No, it's not a game. That's been verified by the Milford, New Hampshire police as authentic. No, and that's not written by the homeowner. And yes, there are others. And yes, as I showed you yesterday here in Erie, Pennsylvania, a projectile through a window of a vehicle. Yes, Donald Trump is in, Pennsylvania, Erie, Pennsylvania, as we speak right now. And yes, there are anti-Donald Trump protesters out there. Yes, there are police out there. Yes, it's going to get ugly. You're only seeing the very, very start of the ugliness that's coming your way. WisconsinChristianNews.com, folks, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Go there for the print as well as the digital editions. I'm a contributing columnist at WisconsinChristianNews.com, although they probably don't want to admit that. But certainly sign up and get your edition anyway, the print and digital editions, WisconsinChristianNews.com. The link will be in the program description box. I hope, because it's a new system I've been working with, and I hope I've been getting things right. All right, with me now, if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan the man, Stan Dale, and his beautiful wife Holly doing the website and up all hours of the night. The two hardest people I mean, they work harder than any two people I know. Go to standale.com. They had a Patreon meeting last Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Support them, folks. Support Stan and Holly Dale. But Stan is with us. And, of course, EMP Shield, if you haven't done so already, you need to do this. The time is running out. And you know what I'm talking about, okay? Whether it's an EMP from the sun or from, who knows, from wherever it might come from. Protect your equipment. Protect your wire, the stuff inside your house, okay? Buy an EMP Shield. Or your car, empshield.com/Hagman for $50 off. And you might say, well, I don't need this because everything will be down. Oh, no. It's going to be geographically specific, perhaps, or it could be. And once the grid does come back up, you don't want to be looking at, a couple of $1,000 worth of doorstops. All right. So empshield.com/Hagman, empshield.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, $50 off. Do it now. And believe me, time is running out. Do it before the election. I'm telling you, do it tonight. Do it tonight. That's empshield.com/Hagman. And installation is easy. And if you really need to, call an electrician. I'll charge you $50 probably to put it in, or $65 a service call to put it in. It's not that difficult at all. That's empshield.com/Hagman. All right, Stan Dale. How are you, Stan?
Oh, good. We've gotten down to the last part of staining our deck, the flat part, now that we've spent a couple of days, Holly and I, painting the pickets and the rails and stuff. What a nasty job.
You too.
Anyway.
Huh?
We're almost there now. We had to try to beat the weather. So
you too.
Only got the deck.
I can't believe that. We're staining our deck too.
Are you?
Yeah, I can't believe. What are you? Is there a color you have, or is it like a colored stain? Or?
If you can see my top of my head here, let's see. up in that area, it's kind of a dark brown because we had waterproofing put in it as well.
Yeah. 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 Ours is gray to match your siding and such, but, yeah, it's a fun job, isn't it?
Oh, no. But anyway, it's, going to be good for another 4 or 5 years if we're here that long. That's a big gift these days, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. You and I have a lot in common. I mean, it's amazing how many things that, I don't know. We have a lot in common. It's to me, it's a God thing. I kind of like that. So, all right. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You're probably going to ask me what I want to talk about first.
We can ask Holly to come on. I'm sure she'd be overjoyed at that.
No, sometimes she is, but today she's kind of doing some, house cleaning because we've got a painter coming over this afternoon to give us a quote on finishing the rest of the interior because she painted three rooms, the kitchen and the ceilings, And it just got to be so much for having the guy come finish it off.
Man, that hurts my arms just thinking about that. My shoulders, the lift up.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I know. Well, what do you want to talk about? StanDeo.com for the show images. Click on the show images, folks, to follow along at home and do that. Even if you're watching this by way of archive, it's still there.
Yeah. The show images page would be there. I don't know about one of the stories that Holly had it up on our site. It was a link to a video that Tom Horn at Skywatch TV just put up. And he says this, regarding CERN, we are confident of making contact with a parallel universe this week. Out of this door might come something. Now, isn't that interesting? I told you some months ago that it is possible that they're trying to bridge a parallel universe with the Hadron Collider there.
So can you explain, and I don't want to seem stupid, but can you explain like what a parallel universe is? Is it something like that occupies almost the same space we are, but we can't see it? Is that what that is? I mean, how would you explain a parallel universe?
There are a number of hypotheses about how it's arranged, but certainly Einstein's model for the existence, is that it could have multiple universes. Now, are they co-planar or co-centered? Einstein thought they were. Some of the more modern looks at it with string theory and such. They put it as a long infinite string, and they picture it as though we're in a space somewhere, and their universes are like globes with galaxies and stuff in them, but they're like in a long string. Now, personally, I prefer what Einstein said about it because he said, look, it's like the Earth and all the atoms in it, et cetera, are vibrating at a certain frequency. They're expanding out and in toward a center of the Earth. The sun and the whole solar system are vibrating in and out. Now, he says, when the mass of the universe, of all the planets and things, when each one of them, when it's expanded out like this, it means that the other universe, which is coexisting with us right around our nuclei, our atoms, our planets, everything, it has a chance on its frequency to come solid as it closes down while you're in the expanded part. And so there, I don't know how many there are really, but we know that the Bible speaks of at least three, and these coexist and, I guess if you could reach your hand out somewhere along this vibrating part coming down and out like this, if you could put your hand into the parallel universe, you could see, either a hot finger, burned off or frozen off because of the density of energy in these things. The Bible talks about God's, having his dwelling, and we've got the Tahom, the great depth here where the bad spirits, are dwelling at the moment where it's hot like hell. And yet when somebody if an object or a ghost or whatever comes from the lower universe to us, the parallel universe, if it penetrates through a gateway somehow into our universe where we are, you know, just at this, as we, as our atoms come together and then spread apart, this is our universe. When one of them tries to breach and come into our universe, it's going to make the room around that entry point cold. On the other hand, from the biblical examples, when Ezekiel's flaming chariot comes out in the sky with flames and fire all around it, that thing is not burning, that flaming chariot. It's in a field, and that field has atoms in it, you know, with the chariot and all that kind of stuff, that are vibrating at a much higher frequency than our atoms do in our parallel universe. And so what happens is when it comes down to our level, it passes heat. And as its atoms, molecules are spinning down so that it's at our same energy density and they can touch things here like living creatures without killing them or shocking them or anything like that. On the other hand, as I said, the parallel universe beneath us in energy, they're relative to us, they're plodding, you know, and dense. And when they penetrate to us, they suck energy out of us and it causes our room to cool. And on their side, down beneath us, a layer, it's hot at the gateway, at the portal. Anyway, it's I go with that that version.
Yeah.
Now, how many parallel universes are there? I don't know. It would seem to me to get very crowded if we have, you know, 10 or 12 of them, and they're all kind of vibrating at different frequencies. They all collapse down around the center of our mass, you know, of an atom or whatever, and then come back out like that. Well, if there's like 10 or 12 of those things, the likelihood of crossover between some of these parallel universes as they're converging or diverging with us is much higher. So at the moment I'm saying, in my own mind, I say, well, okay, God's created at least three heavens or, you know, existences in the fluid of space, time, however you want to couch it. And that's fairly easy to understand how you can have one that's out here, at, you know, say God's high energy density per particle, and that we're down here, and then there's one lower. And with those three, you can see how they can be evenly spaced so that they don't collide with each other. However, now having said that, I'm thinking that I'm not sure what's in the book of Revelation. It's an obscure passage, but it's where the veil between our universe and God's universe starts to thin and we start to be able to see things. Now, is it only God's, you know, the higher energy density where God is in his universe, or is it also the lower energy density, you know, like where hell is in the depths? If it is where we're crossing with the lower energy densities, lower down beneath us. If we're crossing with that as this, the frequencies of our, you know, expanding and contracting, if these frequencies cross over, you can see where we would be able to see goblins and demons and disembodied spirits as what they call in the Bible, the veil starts to lift or thin between our worlds. And these horrible things are spoken of in Revelation. You know, like these stinging things that have a tail on to sting mankind during that tribulation period and very painful wounds, that kind of stuff. You can see how that would happen, that this veil is where our universe frequencies between the lower universe and us at middle universe are crossing. And if the cross point is very small now, then more frequently we'll be able to see through the veil. So I expect we'll see that, and people will die of fright, you know, from what they're seeing around them, even if it's only kind of ghostly or thin-like, and our matter isn't on the same exact frequency, but it's passed so close to us that we can see it. Interesting, wow. Where in God's universe, he can see through, he and his angels can see through into our universe, you know, the middle universe. It almost sounds like I'm trying to tell you a tale from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings things with, you know, Upper Earth and Middle Earth and all that kind of stuff. But I'm taking mine from the Bible and from physics. So that's how I see it. And what they're doing over at CERN, in my opinion, is trying to prove that there is a parallel universe concentric to our own. at least one. And to do that, they're opening up a miniature, or trying to open up a miniature black hole. You know, I say miniature down to the size of atoms probably, but they want to get particles, exotic particles from a parallel universe and let it flow into our universe so they can analyze it, and the density of it, or the temperature that you would measure on that particle would tell you whether it's from a very fast particle, a high energy particle universe above us, or whether you've connected to one below us, which would be very cold compared to us because it's dense. The atoms are not spinning and vibrating as fast as ours are.
How could they control the input or input of the particles? In other words, it almost would seem to me like, oh, I don't know, taking a knife and cutting a like a large balloon filled with water, and your intent is just to make a really small incision.
Yeah.
And what happens?
How do they control that?
Yeah, how do they control that? I mean,
well, first you've got to make the incision or the entry point a portal. And the way they, at least publicly what we know what they're doing is they're spinning particles around the CERN loop and accelerating these particles until it's almost at the speed of light. And then injecting that high speed stream of particles into a little parallel path, which will hit their target. And that target is where they hope to open up the parallel universe by impacting with such energy, and it happens. Now, I forget what the name is. It Kali? Is that the image of the Indian or, you know, Asian Indian god they have out from CERN?
Well, yeah.
That's, I don't remember. It's not something good. It's a god of, or goddess or whatever of, you know, something bad like power or evil or something. I forget what it is. But when they put that there, and then they're trying to make a small black hole to poke into a parallel universe, they must know about the potential for the lower energy density universes below us. And they're trying to punch into that to see these quote-unquote demigods that the Indian culture, especially the Hindu culture, has revered for, you know, generations, decades, millennia maybe. I know it's an interesting thing scientifically. I would like to know about, you know, proving the parallel universe and, you know, gating to it at God's level. You know, I'd like to do that. And I think that's what happens in the rapture, in that we will see, those that are in the rapture, we'll see a transition tunnel, if you wish, like a long tunnel portal between our world universe and God's universe. Hopefully that's the way we're going, up rather than down. But, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought that was really quite an astounding article, and I was glad to see Tom Horn there at CERN. And there's a photo of him on that link. In fact, if you go to our standio.com page and go down, let's see how far down it is.
He was actually there, I mean, at CERN?
It looks like it. Okay. I haven't talked to him since he did that, but, that would really be cool if he were there. I'd probably rearrange his atoms if he was there during carring times, but who knows? I'm just being silly, but it's such a strong magnetic field. It's measured in Tesla units, and you're talking about the magnetic field of the entire Earth is a single Tesla, and we're talking, you know, hundreds of Teslas that are trying to punch through that thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, you've got it. There you go, Eric. That's it. That's the article there. And that doesn't look like it's photoshopped, as far as I can tell.
No.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I guess he was there.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to him in a while, so he could have been to the moon and back, and I would, I mean, last time I spoke with him was, I think, a month and a half ago, so.
You're more recent than me. I used to only talk to him when we were at conferences together, and yeah. Those slowed down, as you know. But on that page there that we're looking at in the video he's making, it says, as pointed out by Dr. Thomas Horn, and in quotes, the name of a video, Into the Multiverse, you know, multiple universes, host Josh Peck in the internationally acclaimed books On the Path of the Immortals and Abaddon Ascending. These things, they're focusing around that, CERN facility, that Large Hadron Collider. And I'm wondering, if that's going to be one of the pits that open up where evil things come out during the tribulation period. Maybe they will succeed in punching into the lower universe. And I don't think I'd like to be around there if they're getting some of those critters through that we've heard about in the scripture.
No.
How about you?
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. You know, I don't know. To me, it takes a lot of brass ones to even try to do that. I mean, it's almost like poking God in the, you know, in the eye with a finger. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you can understand how the people and the scientists that are working on that kind of stuff who aren't, you know, believers and don't follow Jesus and, you know, they're just kind of either agnostic or atheistic or whatever. You can see how they would look at this as a pure scientific, you know, exploration, like going to a new frontier. From that viewpoint, I could say, yeah, gee, if I didn't have the Bible there and didn't read and believe that, I would say, wow, wouldn't it be neat to find a parallel universe? I wonder if there are enough of them that we can go back in time or forward in time. All those kind of questions would, you know, eat away at me. I think I got to figure it out. Got to know. But truthfully, it would be a very dangerous thing because, like, we had to know whether Einstein's equations predicting an atom bomb would work and that it wouldn't ignite the atmosphere of the Earth when it went off. There's that moment where, you know, they push the button to explode the first atomic bomb and everybody's wondering kind of with clenched cheeks, you know, is this going to set the whole world on fire? But it didn't. And so you're still gambling on what you're playing with in blindness. It's best if you have someone that is the architect of these things, of the multiverses, say to you, you can see this or do this. It's okay. But stay within the bounds I give you. Otherwise, it'll be a bad day for you in the earth. Anyway. Yeah. Hey, you remember? Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Just real quick. I remember as we talk about this, there was a Twilight Zone episode. It seems like every time we talk, there's a Twilight Zone episode. The parallel. Yeah. Okay. It was episode 113. I just looked it up here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The parallel was not about the little girl, but it was about the astronaut coming back and finding things not quite right in the world. And then the little girl lost. Episode 91 is about a girl who accidentally passed through an opening into another dimension. Her parents and their friend attempt to locate and retrieve her. It's all based on the 1953 short story of some author. But anyway, it's just, I remember that one where the girl kind of went through the wall into another
in her bedroom. Yeah, I remember that too.
Scared the, you know, out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you reach in and get them, you know, bring them back out? It's dark in that hole there, but And it, you know, writers, you know, like Rod Serling and stuff, you know, Twilight Zone, and then I don't know who did Outer Limits. Who did that?
Don't know.
But anyway, both of these writing teams, you know, impressed the heck out of me because they were thinking way out of the box, like, you know, you and I might do while we're doing a mindless task, mowing the lawn or painting a deck. Yeah. And you're thinking about all kinds of stuff. In our case, you and I, we'd be thinking about things in the heavens and the Word of God and how it relates to our reality here and where we're going. Perhaps, you know, there might be other family issues from time to time you zone out on, but these are the ponderable but unresolvable type issues because we just don't have enough information that we can trust about this. Anyway, it's stimulating. I mean, it look, a lot of our astronauts and people in the space program have said, oh, well, you know, as a young person, I was a fan of Star Trek or, you know, all the different variations of Star Trek because it took us into the future in a possible reality. And they were so encouraged by that, you know, so motivated by that, that they joined the space program somehow or other, as engineers and pilots or whatever. So what is fiction is kind of pushing our thoughts, you know, about the future. And it's really quite stimulating if you think about it.
It is. Yeah, it is. Wow.
on the, let me see here. Where is that thing there on the show images page? I've got it here somewhere. Yeah. A few, slide 43, 44, yeah, 43 and 44 to start with. Remember over the last few weeks, I've been telling people about the way NASA, you know, and JPL, how they plot where planets or asteroids are and how close they're going to come to each other, you know, over time, trying to predict when we're going to have what we've discovered out there anyway, asteroid actually impact or come into our atmosphere here so that we can prepare appropriately, like bend over and kiss your foot, you know, goodbye. But anyway, slide 43 is linked to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who warns an asteroid could hit Earth the day before the election. But NASA says asteroid 2018 VP1 poses no actual threat to Earth. It, in their language, it's about a 1 in 200 chance. Not a 1 in 2 million or 200,000, it's a 1 in 200 chance that this incoming asteroid on the 1st of, into the 2nd of November will enter our atmospheric space so close that it might strike the surface of the Earth. And, you know, here we have now the, you know, an astronomer and NASA, they're debating, kicking the ball back and forth, probably to keep from panicking people. But, what I was warning you about is now being picked up and talked in mainstream. Now go over to slide 44 and, the text, you can click on that, you know, the possibility of the asteroid hitting the Earth. If you do that, it goes to his Neil deGrasse page here. Sorry, I'm just trying to find something here. And if you click on the picture, which is an Excel spreadsheet that I showed, as I say, a month or two ago to your listeners there. And if you look at the black arrows I've drawn down on the top of this, there's one arrow at the distance, the minimum distance of this asteroid to the Earth. And then the other arrow on the right shows that in the black box as to VP1, what that minimum distance is, and it's 4,430 miles. Well, you think, well, that's, you know, 4.4 thousand miles out from the surface of the Earth, but it's, I'm sure it's not, because they measure these things with a celestial motion equation, and it assumes a point in the center of the object as its location in space. So if they're looking at Earth and an asteroid coming toward the Earth and getting close, when they say it's close, they're measuring where that asteroid comes and its distance from the center of the Earth to the asteroid, not from the surface, from the center. Now, if you look at the Earth's diameter being, oh, roughly, you know, 7,900 miles, and the radius of being at half, just a little under 4,000 miles, and you look at that second arrow on the right there where it says the near, you know, the close approach of that asteroid would be 4,430 miles, that's like coming into our atmosphere. I mean, our thin atmosphere, mind you, but if our radius to the asteroid impact was like 4,000 miles, they're saying it 430 miles above that, you're going to be seeing this asteroid approaches. That is so close that the gravitational field of the Earth and various other influencing factors could make it deviate straight onto the Earth and hit us. Now
that like would suck. I mean, I'm telling you, it would really suck. How big is this thing?
Oh, it's only about the size of a school bus, but it would still hurt.
Okay.
Well, it wouldn't be a life-extinguishing event. We do know that a burning star in Revelation is going to fall into the waters. It's going to be some asteroid of some sort that does hit us during the tribulation period. But, you know.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, though. That's so, but it certainly could damage satellites, right? I mean. Mm.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
There goes my TV land and the doggy channel. Gone. Yeah. The lady's going to be upset. They're going to be watching TV. Things are going to go out. Oh, asteroid hit it. No, I say that because, you know, you can't worry about that, I guess. I don't know. That's concerning. But.
Well, look, that's the point. If you are reasonably certain there's a high probability of the impacts on Earth by some of these things, what you do, and the governments do, hope to have a modicum of, you know, civilization left after this impact, you would not tell people directly that it is going to hit. You would go and make preparations in the areas you think it's going to hit for, you know, helping people that are wounded and or taking away the dead bodies and putting out fires and that kind of stuff. You would make preparations in the area of that and other places around the planet that might be affected by an impact, say over in Russia or wherever. Mm-hmm. And then you would leak out like this report here. It's not a secret. If you go to NASA and look at their ephemeral data, you know, the orbital data for all the asteroids that they, you know, have seen and can track. As I said before, when we were talking about this, you know, right, a couple months ago, to determine an orbit of a planet or an asteroid in this case, you have to have several points of observation to know, like on the 1st of January, you know, 1990, this object, we picked it up and it was here in space. And then when it gets down to 2020, January 1, well, the object was here in space. And with those two points, you can't really make a really good estimate of its overall orbit. But when you get about 3 or 4 or 5 or even 60 or 70 points like this, they start to pretty well define the elliptical or, you know, in this case, elliptical orbit kind of egg-shaped of this object. But that's why they have a margin of error in this particular case, because they haven't been able to get enough measurements to accurately plot the course of this asteroid. And I show here on that graph the lunar distance, you know, the calculation of the era that they see in this this location, mm-hmm, is 2.78 million percent of you know, of an era. So they can be as far off as, you know, halfway to the moon or the other side of the moon and down to the Earth's surface. That's the latitude they've given it. Now, they've reduced that percentage and all that kind of stuff to a probability of 1 in 200 chances that it will strike the Earth. It's not their fault. They have to go on what they can measure in the optical or radiological telescopes, whatever they're using to track it. And if they haven't got enough tracks, they can say to you, well, we think that it could be this close, really close. Whew, wow, that was close. Or so far out that, yawn, it's not a big deal. Or somewhere in between, it's called the nominal place. And so they've been fair about what they've shared. It's just that people in the main don't go to their ephemeral charts and know what they're saying. So that's why people, yeah, like myself say, you look, could be a problem.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell us this. I guess we shouldn't buy any ripe bananas that week.
Why is that?
Well, you know, they go bad quickly. No, I'm kidding, of course. So yeah, I'm looking at the numbers there. I'm thinking about this. Wow. Boy.
Yeah.
And you're right about, you're right about too, you know, the asteroid hitting the Earth and poisoning a third of the water.
The sea.
But something like, I mean, it would have to be a lot bigger than this, obviously.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that one will be. Yeah. And, it's probably big enough that, we have it, or NASA, maybe you'll have it on record. They have tracked this object, but they've tracked maybe 6,000 near Earth orbit asteroids and meteors. And, so which one of them is it? You know, there'd probably be a candidate list of 100 of them that might be the possible one that the book of Revelation is talking about. But, yeah.
You know, I read a lot of comments on our YouTube channel when you talk about these kind of things. Nibiru, planet Nibiru. Mm. Okay. Another planet out there. Is there such a thing? I know we've talked about this in the past to some extent, but I'm sure people are going to be saying, hey, what about Nibiru?
Well, there's something out there. We've known this in the scientific community for probably 50 years, and we've known it because you can track the orbits of the big planets, you know, the gas giants like Jupiter, Neptune, Uranus, those areas. And you can see that their orbit is like, instead of being a nice smooth ellipse, there's some point out there in its orbit that it kind of does a divot like that, or out like that, and then back to a normal elliptical orbit. I've run the calculations too, and I've found that there is a discrepancy in their distance, even from the sun, because of something out, further out, maybe in the Kuiper Belt or even beyond. There's something massive that is pressing on their orbits. And these big gas giants have enough of cross-sectional area and gravitational field that they're like sails when they get pressed on by this other object's gravitational field. Now, do I think that it's visible in our solar system? Right now, I don't know of anyone who's even tried to leak a position and say, yeah, on my telescope, I've seen it. Now, it might be because there's no light coming from it. It's a dark object, whatever it is. So you can't see it with a normal optical telescope because there's no light being reflected. Now what would do that? Maybe an object that, is large and massive and, say maybe the mass of, Jupiter or slightly more than that, but it has ash or carbon coating, which would be quite irregular, but it's coated in carbon dust. And so it doesn't reflect the light for our telescopes to pick up. On the other hand, if you have what's called an infrared or heat telescope to look at the thermal image of our solar system and look for that thing, then you might be able to track it from the energy it's absorbing from the sun and re-radiating. And that heat signature would tell us, okay, it's a dark planet, or in this case, a dark sun. Modern theory is now turning to the fact, or to the position that our sun itself was a binary part of a binary star system. We had two suns, and one of them didn't make it. It didn't erupt into a normal sun. That in fact, it spun faster and faster and formed a black hole, in essence.
Right.
Or it could be just a dead star, not emitting any radiation, but it's more likely to be, in this case, a black hole that's reaching out that far. I know that that's not a popular viewpoint. People say there's got to be a planet there, and I won't argue the point. There could be a massive planet. But this is what is affecting us now, and we can't see it.
So there's something there. We just don't know what it is. Is that kind of an – do people agree that there's something there? We're just not sure what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like the Loch Ness Monster. You're out there looking over the great water, and you see ripples. You don't see the Loch Ness Monster, but you can see where it was because it makes ripples in the water. And this object is doing that. In our space.
Got it.
Makes it.
Got it. All right. I did solve the mystery of Sasquatch. That was my former mother-in-law. but God rest her soul. I'm kidding, folks. Don't send me the mail. All right. Wow.
Now, I want to talk about some other things here. I'm getting kind of carried away with stuff that, so I'm missing some of the stuff. Slide 46.
Okay.
This is what you get on spaceweather.com every day. And what I'm seeing here is a chart of the atmospheric radiation in the stratosphere. And this red line shows the mean path of the increase in radiation from March 2015 to September 2020. Now, why is that important? It's because, excuse me, the radiation in the upper atmosphere is 15%, you know, it's increased 15% in the last 5.5 years. Why is that? Is that because our sun is now approaching its minimum and the solar wind is not shielding Earth from the deep space cosmic radiation and even from itself? We are into a very low sunspot period, the lowest in several hundred years. It's just something to watch here because atmospheric radiation, we're shielded from it by the solar wind and also by our ionosphere, you know, our ozone layer and things like that. But these are dependent upon our magnetic field on Earth being strong. And it is decreasing like crazy as the North Pole shifts 35 miles a year toward Siberia and Russia. Something is happening with the sun. It's our attitude to it is causing the magnetic North Pole to drift rather rapidly. And we're losing shielding because of that. Just something to occupy your thoughts
with. Yeah, a couple of questions here. The stratospheric radiation, that 5-year period, is that consistent across the United States, or is that, or across the world, or is that just at that? I know it's measured. It looks like it's measured at that exact.
Yeah, out of California, they're sending up balloons in the stratosphere, taking readings, and then bring them back. And
but would this be consistent across the planet, or no?
I don't think it would be uniform. There will be variations in the rise or fall of that. I would expect that the shifting of the magnetic north pole is going to shift the area of impact, you know, by the solar or cosmic radiation. Where the field is weak, it's going to be stronger. And to that end, if you look at the South Atlantic anomaly between South America and Africa, you'll see there that the hole there, the anomaly, is opening up, and it's hit our ozone layer. Let me see here.
Yeah.
Slide 42. Click on that. And it's the deepest ozone hole in years. They say the largest in 15 years, and they go on to explain it in the article. And if you look at the photo above there, what I've done there, in fact, just click on the photo so you can see it in bigger pictures. The bottom picture is what I make between the two top pictures, like I used to forecast earthquakes. Well, this is showing the change in, from July to September this year, the change in the ozone layer, and the depth of it. And so you can see in the top picture in July of 2020, the ozone hole was very kind of weak and like a letter six, a very faint letter six in blue. Come down to September 22nd this year, and you see it is definitely a big hole over Antarctica, which may also be why we're seeing more melt of the ice on Antarctica.
Yeah.
But and then the third image down there is where I put those two images together on the top there and subtract one from the other to see the net change and where it's occurring. And it's pretty much the same as you can see with your eyes. There are warming zones, I guess you'd call them, in September 22nd. If you look at the orange arm on the top right and then look down at the combined differential image at the bottom, you'll see that it's bright red, showing that it's gotten, the area's gotten hotter. In that case there, let's see.
That's at the South Pole, Antarctica. Why there? Why there? Why not over, Russia, China, U.S.?
Well, let's think about it. It's on a polar region, and the planet is spinning around.
Right.
And so your atmosphere is going to stretch, you know, toward the equator, centrifugal force doing that. So the solar wind coming at Earth is, you know, it's magnetic. It responds to our magnetic field here.
Okay.
And it's going to be drawn in to the polar regions. Now, I don't know what's happening in the North Pole. I haven't checked it lately about any heating there, but I think it's still got stuff that's melting in Greenland. But the solar wind with the magnetic particles, you know, the protons, are curving toward the strength of the magnetic field, which is at the poles. And I would suggest that both North and South Pole areas are, you know, potentially going to open up the ozone layer as this field weakens. I'll have to check the North Pole here for next time. But
all right. Well, okay, that makes sense to me. As I was making the motions with my hands off camera. Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Here's another interesting thing for people that are like real estate agents or people thinking about moving and things like that. Go to slide 45. Click on the text. It says, high levels of ultraviolet light most strongly associated with reduced growth of COVID-19. Now, where we live, in Colorado here, we're in the mountains. And the higher you go, the more intense the ultraviolet radiation becomes. In fact, we have to be careful of that and using sunblockers when we're going to be out for a length of time.
Right.
And one of our dogs has even developed an immune problem from the ultraviolet in the sun. So we have to give him medicine. You know, we're trying to completely heal him. Really damaged his nose just being out in the ultraviolet here. And, you know, you just have to reduce the time you spend out there. For a doggy, that's a death sentence almost. They like to get out and run. Now, ultraviolet kills or stops the growth of COVID-19. I suppose that would mean that somehow or another, you could, in fact, I've seen some of these instruments on the internet. You can make an instrument that would produce ultraviolet in an area around you there, as long as you don't blind yourself with it, that would kill or slow down the reproduction rate of COVID-19 should you have any near you or on the products that you're using. In fact, I saw an article, Holly's got it up on our Show Images page, about frozen packages of food from China. They found that those are containing on the plastic active COVID-19. I don't know whether they export that, but it's a possibility. So you got to be careful if you're getting plastic wrapped anything from China, and use your Lysol spray and spray it and give it a few minutes to do its job, and then, or either open it with gloves to be very careful. But, yeah, that's an issue that we need to address at one time. Okay.
Can you use a ultraviolet light over packages?
Yeah. I think that's one of the objects I saw on eBay or something the other day. Just look up ultraviolet cure COVID-19 or something.
Okay. All right.
Well, look, everything that comes to us here at home, we spray the outside of it, whether it's cardboard or plastic. We let it rest a few hours, and then we spray our hands that have touched it, and the gloves even. Because it would have come from somewhere else in the country and be carrying possibly things that are unpleasant.
Okay. All right.
Now, let's see here. We've got that. Slide 47 says we're out of corn. Mainstream media blames COVID. Science reveals diminishing solar activity is the cause. So, if the solar activity is producing ultraviolet and various other frequencies, you know, around that, and it's dropping, you know, it's not producing as much, then, okay, this is allowing cosmic radiation to get in, which does include ultraviolet in various spectra. But science is saying that this is costing us, you know, the corn crops. Now, I've said this many times before on the show, that from my own research, I found that there's maybe two bands of ultraviolet that have come from the sun since 1992. They're a new type of emission, signaling a change in the activity of the nuclear chemistry of the sun. But it has affected plant leaves, you know, burned some of them. It's affected the bees that pollinate our crops,
right?
Because they use ultraviolet in one spectrum to navigate, to find the pollen on the plants. And I've watched, you know, our bees that come in and out, and they would rather sit at the water bowl and drink water than get down and fly in amongst our you know, blossoms to pollinate our crops. And here they're saying it's reportedly suffering, corn is, a coronavirus-related shortage. Not enough corn coming. And for your listeners that are like us that have their own gardens, you'll see that in different parts of the United States, for sure, there are different crop yields. Some are seeing it's kind of okay. But more than that, we're seeing that the crops weren't okay, that tomatoes were stunted, that pollination was stunted. Crop numbers, you know, are dropping. And our tomatoes, all different kinds that we grew here this year, were small. They were stunted over what they should be in size, obviously so. The largest watermelon I got was about that big. The largest cantaloupe I got was about that big. They just are stunted.
You know, and I want to say this, because undoubtedly somebody's going to say this or write this as a remark on YouTube. You know, people say, well, why should I care? You know, all these things happen, and you're talking about the size of your tomatoes. Tomatoes. Okay. Well, think about this. And you're right. It is geographically diverse, right, in what's happening with our crops. So, okay. There's no fighting this. I mean, there's no way to not fight it. There's no way to mitigate the damage from this, is there?
There is. If you use a greenhouse and have your own light for your crops, you know, with LEDs over the crops that you're growing, raised garden that's inside your greenhouse, you'd have to shield the sides and the top though from the ultraviolet with some sort of a material that would block the UV getting through.
Put that right out back there, Pa. Right by the, nah, you know, yeah, okay. Wow.
Adverse weather, it's strange all over the planet, and this is predictable with the changes in the solar output and with the weakening of our magnetic field. We've talked about this for years now.
Yep.
Where you're going to see as this change progresses, you're going to see areas where hurricanes, strong hurricanes that didn't used to occur, are now occurring in these areas, and some of them actually lasting long and going over the land, becoming what I nicknamed landicanes. You know, they're like derechos, you know, but they're also spinning like a hurricane. There are going to be places where it will be severely cold, where it's never been that way. And there are going to be places that are drought, you know, and very hot. It's destroyed their normal climate. If you look at which one is that? Cold snow. Okay, I think it's on our website, main website, but it's an article that says cold snow and epic flooding. The weather in Slovakia is reminiscent of the apocalypse.
Nice.
They show you a few pictures. Oh yeah, you can see it there. But it's like the day after type scenario. It's one of the examples of extremes of weather, whether it be hot or cold or wind or not wind, you know, drought or wet. And I think this is eventually going to stabilize again, and there will be areas around the planet that will be better for growing and better for living. Whether they will be where they historically were for us is probably, you know, academic. I don't know. We'll probably see it go elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, how do you even, if you combine that with your other, image. I mean, how do you plan? Of course, Holly did a good job, in her book, Numbers of Books, Dare to Prepare. By the way, I was again thumbing through Cosmic Conspiracy last night. Great book. Prudent Places USA is what I was thinking. There's so many factors to take into account when you're thinking about moving to a relatively safe place. I'm not sure we're going to find them anymore safe places.
Well, I agree with you. I think the good Lord will tell us where we've got to be if you seek Him out on it. We were, you know, entrenched in a nice little farm down in Australia, and I had a dream vision that was so powerful, so exact, that we were able to move here to this exact place where I was shown. Our property values here in Pueblo West, Pueblo in general here in Colorado, are really going through the roof. I mean, like, you know, thousands of dollars a month in property value increases for people trying to find property. We're all being besieged by real estate agents saying, we'll give you cash for your property. Just, you know, what do you want? And we asked them, and they're saying it's, you know, Eastern staters, other people trying to move here out of the population densities, and perhaps for better weather, I don't know. That doesn't really apply to us because we're in the middle of a drought that's going to be increasing for some time.
Meanwhile, my neighbors are taking up a collection to get me out of here. But no, I'm kidding. But you know, I've seen that too. I've seen this mass exodus is away from cities, obviously. But, interesting you say Pueblo West, as being one of the key areas of.
In the last year, I think our property here has gone up, $80,000.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about, I had the appraiser come out for a loan for this, solar business we're putting in, and he put it at $450,000. When we bought it, it was 287. And that was 20 some odd years ago, but still. In the last year or two, it's just been going through the roof. And I asked him, I said, what's happening out there across the country? And he said, well, there are a lot of people trying to sell and come over here. Yeah, you know, they're exiting the major cities.
You know, the average price where I live is, I mean, my goodness, maybe 125,000, you know, you're talking a nice house. Wow. So
are property values dropping or increasing in your area?
Actually, they're dropping in the city and they're increasing in the suburbs. They're maintaining out in the, I don't know what you'd call it, in the suburbs of the suburbs. And then the farmland is increasing. So I don't know if that makes sense, but there's no right answer to that. But definitely in the city, you can see that the property value is declining and the property taxes, are also declining as well. The revenue.
Ours are going up.
Well, let me rephrase that. The revenue is declining. The taxes are rising in the city, which tells you that the occupancy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Look at, I think we've got about 3 or 4 minutes.
What have we got? 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Two.
All right.
Okay. Well, on slide 48 on the picture, click on the picture. It's one out of an animated GIF showing the heat anomalies moving across the United States, you know, where it's like about 6 to 8 degrees above or 6 to 10 degrees above the mean for the last 30 or 40 years. And you can see all that red area is extreme. It's hitting our croplands in the middle of the United States. It's hitting Colorado and all the way up into Washington State.
Oh, yeah.
That's very hot, anomalous. And up above us, of course, in Canada, their anomaly is like colder. The article is with it below and give you some indication of what's going on.
So where we are around the Great Lakes, it's about 4 degrees colder on average. So, okay.
Right.
Wow.
Well, now, all right. So maybe a minute worth here. Slides 37, 38 are dealing with some research that Chinese physicists and some of our Americans have done on making a thin layer, like one atom thick of carbon in a hexagonal shape. It makes what's called graphene. And you can see in the blue picture there in 37 how it looks. But what they found was they could put a layer over in slide 38, making a rare form of magnetism when they combine three layers of this graphene and different structures together. And when you click on the picture like you've done there, you see those arrows are showing spins, magnetic spins around each of these points in these hexagonal areas. And it's a kind of magnetism that's very strong and stable. Because when you make something magnetic, you have to look at the atoms of it, and they know it's going to be magnetic if the distance from the core of the atom to its outermost unfinished shell divided by the distance between the two atoms comes out to be about, the distance between the atoms divided by the radius to the outermost unfinished shell. If it's between about 2 and 3, a ratio there, the material will be magnetic. And what they've done here with this graphene is just perfect. And the alignments are just at the optimum distance. And this will actually just sit in a room and generate electricity. Small amounts of electricity, mind you, but it is a path to perhaps another way to make energy out of the molecular movement of something.
All be long gone. Look at that. Hmm? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Super rare form of magnetism. When three layers combine together. Interesting. I'm going to have to bookmark this and read this later. That sounds good. All right, Stan. We're about done.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Right. I'm looking here at 39 people. I'll have a look at that. It's earthquakes for the last 14 days. They seem to be going down in number rather than going up. So there's some nice big pictures to look at.
All right. Sounds good anyway. At least they're going down for now. And maybe until next week. I got to keep my eyes on the sky watching for asteroids.
Asteroids, aliens, all kinds of stuff.
Stan, thank you very much. May God bless. Have a good night. Folks, that'll do it. We're out of here, out of time. Good night.